B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, anime, video games, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
Everyone pretend podcasting isn't boring.
This is Nerd Radio.
Good evening. I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing on a parking lot at Twin Pines Mall. And this is Temporal Experiment number one.
That's right. Another week, Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcasts, is part of the B-Pod Studios Network and all over your social media, Nerd Radio 101. Also, as an added bonus this week, you can check us out at our website, nerdradio101.com. Mm-hmm.
Whoa, we have a website.
We have a website now.
Wow, it's like 1998.
I know. Exactly.
We have a website.
We have a domain. We don't have a website.
Oh.
All it does
We have a domain!
we went on GeoCities. And,
yeah. I was sitting there. I was doing some stuff for my own domain, which also is not a website. I just own a URL for myself.
Albeck.com.
Not quite.
Is it Albeccon?
I wish.
Alcon2021.com.
Oh, my God. I got to scoop that up now. You put it out on Twitch, you idiot.
Oh, no. We talked about it 2 weeks ago.
But not the website.
No, we didn't.
No, Albeck is already taken, so I had to.
Oh, Albeck. No.
Would you go Albeck Radio?
Yeah, because that's what I put my social media
Albeck
and stuff.
Voiceover or something?
Yeah, just Albeck Radio, which is nothing. It's the but I own it.
You need to set up like one of those Linktree sites like those cam girls do that has like, so you put in albeckradio.com and then it goes to like your OnlyFans.
Yep.
So
right.
You can see your butthole. Yep. It goes to your Facebook.
Well, OnlyFans is the top of the list.
Yeah, well, that's what you're making all the money right there, you know? You put the money first. You want people to see the money site first. Yeah.
I think you're shooting pretty high thinking Al show off his butthole in OnlyFans. I think Al's OnlyFans is just him without a shirt.
It's just his belly button.
That's his risque.
Mostly because it'd just be way too much work to stand up, turn around, and bend over.
Oh, come on, Al. You got a camera phone. You'd set that timer on there. You'll be golden. I'll give you some pointers.
Oh, God. Even some tech work involved. With
Aren't y'all glad you tuned into Nerd Radio?
But I will say I was doing stuff for my own website that doesn't exist and thought, we don't have a Nerd Radio one. So I went and looked, and nerdradio101.com was available, so I bought it.
Were you scared somebody was going to steal it?
No, I just figure, you know, it's one of those things that I figure eventually we're going to do something, but probably never will.
Yeah, well,
you know,
better to have it than not.
Better to have it, but right now it currently does.
Well, you don't want to end up like the Washington Redskins.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
somebody like Jay Moore.
Jay Moore
the Twitch
goes
chat.
And scoops up our.
He buys all the Nerd Radio properties.
Bastard.
All the Albeck properties. Yeah. And he's holding out for a six-figure number. Which I don't think we'll ever be able to come up with the purchase.
I will say that
I don't think a three-figure number.
I think between the three of us, we can put six pennies together.
Give me $3. Give me a $2 bill.
If you can find one.
I got a bunch. I keep one in my wallet all the time just in case.
I do too, actually.
Yeah, you might run out of gas.
Yeah, really?
You might need something. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Keep a $2 bill in your wallet.
I think it should be.
That's an old man tip.
Old man tips.
For both me and Al.
But
you know what I keep in my wallet? My bank card.
It's the only cash I have.
The $2 bill?
Yeah.
While we're talking about websites, I did look it up when you said Albeck.com was taken. It's Albeck Financial Services.
Is it really?
Yeah. So don't think that.
Well, apparently, and here it is, James. See? $2 bill.
$2 bill.
For the camera.
Bill has seen much better
days. I know. Well, I've been carrying it in my wallet for a long time.
Years.
Yeah. Poor Thomas Jefferson. Looks like his wig got blown off.
There was some Taco Bell involved.
And then there's the Founding Fathers orgy on the back.
Yep.
But
I do keep it.
I wasn't ready for that.
Well, if you look at the back of the $2 bill, they got the Founding Fathers having a little orgy.
I don't remember that part.
John
of
Hancock is putting his name where it don't belong. George Washington's got his wooden teeth out while he's pleasuring one of the other Founding Fathers.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't tell you who.
Well,
or what,
this is what you tuned into Nerd Radio for.
That's right.
Welcome to the show.
And all this started so I could tell you that, nerdradio.com was taken. But but I figure our social media across the board is Nerd Radio 101, so I got that. And currently it just forwards to the podcast episode page at WRIF.com. So it's an easy way to go. So it is up. But again, you can find the podcast at riff.com. It's part of the B-Pod Studios Network. Also in Boston at rock929rocks.com and 96KROQ in Fort Myers, Florida.
And if you're tuning in on a Wednesday morning, you can find us over the Checkpoint XP Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Over to you, Chuck.
Well, man, I just wave at nobody, give a point, nothing.
I was just going to say, go home. We don't need you. Episode James and I tried to do alone, clearly we do need
you. Which we gave up on finding stuff to talk about.
I'm just here to throw you guys softballs and then you get to be funny. That's my job, is to throw you.
I just spilled water on my crotch.
Chuck didn't even have to do anything to make that happen either. You need me to come over there and dry it up, Al?
I got the founding fathers. Thank you. I'm covered.
Ooh, George Washington. Yeah. Couldn't even tell he's got dog teeth in those dentures.
Too bad I looked up like 20 stories for this week because we're not going to get to them. This is too good.
And I'm for the record, for anyone from Checkpoint listening, aside from James, none of it got on any equipment.
No.
It was all right on my pants.
I'm happy to see that his headshot is still in the studio for last week.
Yeah, I got some compliments when we came in here to record the latest Checkpoint.
The Checkpoint, yeah. Well, you should. That's a great headshot.
I was like, it is a fantastic looking headshot. It's the best headshot in the whole building.
Yep.
Yeah.
You can't see any other radio talent in an outfit like that.
That's true. That's true. I had to make
that
sure.
That might even be safe to say in the whole country. Actually, no, there's probably women radio talent.
Yeah, well, let's remember, you did get that headshot during the rock girl phase when we were just, you know, had sexy lady photos every year. So
I had to become the rock boy.
I had to make sure it was from the shoulders up when I put it on the camera because I can't see your thong in that photo.
Oh, yeah, so you don't want to get a Twitch band.
You could be wearing nothing at all as far as anyone knows. And, yeah, I didn't want to get everybody in problems.
Get
with
that
Twitch.
Nude man out of here. It feels good to be back in the studio because I was off.
It's good to have you. How's
you feeling any better?
I'm still itchy as hell, but
that's unfortunate.
Oh, show the camera. I still kind of look like Gorbachev's.
Oh, yeah. Right. But it's healing. It's absolutely healing up.
So if you're listening to this podcast, now you've just had the advantage of now tuning in live on Twitch. You get you just got a James Nip show.
I was going to say, now we're in trouble with Twitch.
Tuned in on Twitch, you can see the birthmark looking poison ivy and almost get an idea what it might smell like.
You can nearly smell it.
Yes.
Okay, well, I did look up a bunch of stuff, and we got a whole bunch of news to talk about. But before we get there, while we're talking about websites, do you guys remember the Right to Censor faction in the WWE back in the early 2000s?
No, I don't.
It was Steven Richards, Val Venus, who was the
Val Venus, he was the male porn star.
He was the porn star. There was the Godfather, which had all the hoes.
The Godfather with the hoes.
And then Ivory, and they took all of them, and they dressed them in suits and ties. And made them like
Mormons or something?
Like Mormons, like a parent group that was upset about all the TNA and all the violence on the show, and they would come out and they had this like awful siren for a thing. They had a website back in the day that was righttocensor.com. AEW bought it.
Did they really?
They did. Oh. I saw it last night.
This is the one thing I love about having the two like big name. I mean, technically there's three because of Impact also.
Sure.
But those two big wrestling corporations going head to head. I love the stuff that they pull against each other.
There's this little
so dirty,
tiny stuff going on.
You know, between
the
Dusty
Monday
Rhodes
Night Wars
rights,
again.
Dusty Rhodes rights, naming rights and things like that. And now website domains. Oh.
Yeah, no, it was really funny when somebody realized that, like, wait a second. That forwards you to the AEW website. That's amazing. Good job, Cody Rhodes. Whoever is involved in that, good job.
Yeah.
Good job.
They should have forwarded it to nerdradio101.com.
They should have. They absolutely should have.
Great.
I don't think AEW know we exist.
I guarantee
Jericho,
they
Jericho, we're
don't.
Out here. Come on, Jericho.
Right, exactly. He's the demo god. We need him over here. All right, well, the big news I wanted to start off with from yesterday, which we've got over on WRIF.com, and you've probably heard, but I wanted to get your guys' impression on this. The Mulan movie is foregoing theaters, like a lot of movies this year, and is going to Disney Plus, streaming video on demand for $29.99 the first week of September.
So you got to pay $30 to watch this movie on top of the fee.
On top of your Disney
Plus
subscription. It's video on demand, so I believe you're renting it for, I don't know, like a weekend or something like that, like three or four days. They're trying to make sure they get that like movie ticket money because if you're renting it on Disney on Demand, there's a good chance that three or more people are going to see it.
How do they come up with $30? Like $30 is what you'd pay like back in the day for a pay-per-view, I feel.
Right.
You know? But even like a movie rental from a pay-per-view was like $5-$6, maybe 10 max.
I feel like because of the way it's put together, like I said, I think when you rent it, you get it over like a 3-day period. So maybe it's like $10 a day, they're thinking.
Well, give it to me for 24 hours for $10 and maybe I'll be, well, not Mulan, but, you know.
That's the two things about it. First of all, this has been going on since the beginning of summer. Different, like you could go on Amazon Prime and get the Scoob movie for like $30 when it first came
Sonic
out.
Sonic one of them, too, that
I
they
think
put
so.
Out early?
Yeah. But, you know. 30 seems a bit steep. And specifically,
Al, how much did you pay to get the Trolls movie?
Everything I had.
Oh, wow. So not much.
All my money, a little bit of innocence. All gone.
Yeah.
You know, I will say that depending on how many people in the room, I could justify the money or not.
Right.
You know, like there was a movie that had one of my Bill Burr was in that I really wanted to see. I never got around to renting it, but I figured if I'm going to rent this thing with two people in the room, it was $20 to rent it.
Sure.
That's what I would spend at least to go to the theater. Yep. I can justify it then, and I don't have to do the theater thing.
Right.
You know, I'm
you don't have to be around anybody.
Right.
So
it depends. Like, I'm not going to spend $30 on that, but if I had a family of four that were going to watch it with me, I'd be spending more than that in the theater, and I could do it.
I could see that. I feel like my sticking point is like $20.
Yeah.
You know what? Okay, let's say Disney puts out some movie I got to see. So let's say COVID happened before Endgame and any of that stuff. I would pay the $20 on top of my fee to see that.
Sure.
But for some reason, once you go past that $20 barrier, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm like, sorry, that's way too
much money. That's your line in the sand.
Yeah, that's like now you're digging into my cheesy gordita crunch funds.
Yeah, well, because here's the other thing, though, is eventually, if you're not in that big of a rush to see it now,
sure,
it'll eventually be a $6 rental like most new releases. It'll come down in price. But that's why if it's something I want to see right now, I would gauge it on how many people are watching it with me. Would I pay that amount to see it in theaters? Then okay.
Does that mean we got a kick in money if you come to your place and we're going to rent the movie on Disney
Plus? Well, yeah,
it's
like when you get WrestleMania and you have all your friends over and everyone kicks in $5.
Well, Al's going to invite us over. Come on over. We're going to watch Mulan. We're like, this is weird. We're going to Al's to watch
Which is already strange.
Yeah. Right. But he's like, all right, James, that'll be $10. Chuck, that'll be $10.
He's got a little coat and a hat.
It's a theme party, too, so you got to dress up.
Yeah. Like all our favorite MASH characters.
It's not even Mulan themed.
Yeah. The theme for this Mulan viewing is MASH.
Yeah, the theme is my Hulu cue. Yeah. So you got to come as MASH or Dick Van Dyke. Yeah.
How in the world did you guys know I've got a clinger dress in the closet?
Yeah. Wow.
Just waiting for the excuse.
Finally, a reason to put it on and wear it out.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Yep.
But the president of Disney said that this is not something that they're looking to do going forward. Like, the Black Widow hasn't been announced yet as, $30. They're still hoping to get it in the theaters. But with this particular movie, they're deciding, apparently at this point, they've lost enough money waiting to put this in the theater. So we're going to put it on a video on demand. I just don't think Mulan is the kind of movie that you're going to make a lot at $30 a shot.
I do think that's an overreach. I mean, like I said, I would justify it by I would need at least three people in the room with me,
right?
To go ahead and purchase that, but
the room does not meet Al's minimum requirements for movie rental. Sorry,
it's like
more friends. Yeah. Get more friends, Al.
Yeah, it's like a three drink minimum.
Yeah.
It's a three person minimum.
Right.
Yeah.
He's charging $7 for the mixed drinks in the fridge.
Yeah. So, that would be awesome. He's got cocktails in there.
Let's go ahead. You mentioned Black Widow. I mean, we're talking about Mulan. I don't think any of the three of us in this room are in a hurry to see Mulan.
Right.
All three of us would want to see Black Widow as soon as we can. Could you see yourself spending the $30 if you had enough people or if you wanted to see it bad enough or if you were bored enough? Could you see yourself doing that for Black Widow, not Mulan?
I think between myself and Amy, we would probably legitimately be like, let's spend it's a Saturday night. Let's spend $30.
And see, that one, my desire to see it is higher.
Again,
you really are. That really is more appropriate to what a movie ticket would be is $15 per person.
Oh, yeah.
I'm totally renting Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
The weekend it comes out. I think that's another $20 or $30 movie. I want to see it. I want to see it. Y'all know they could make it $50 and I'd rent New Mutants.
How high will Chuck Bean go?
Exactly. They could crank that price up to something really stupid.
Chuck in line at the plasma donation center. It's like,
I just want to see New Mutants.
New Mutants is coming out.
We come in here next week, find the audio board missing. Chuck traded it for a bootleg copy of New Mutants.
It's like dealing with a meth addict. What's going on? All of our cool collectibles are gone. The Hulk fists are gone. The boards are gone. All the headphones are gone.
He's hawking copies of James's headshot.
Yeah. I went on eBay. Headshots of myself are now selling for $50 a pop.
Forged signatures.
And he sold four of them.
Yeah. It's freaking Requiem for a Dream in here so I can finally see New Mutants.
Yep. So,
me and Al got to keep going back to the pawn shop to buy all the equipment back so we can do the Nerd Radio podcast.
Well, you know there's got to be somebody out there in the world that feels the same way about Mulan. Like, I'll pay it. Yeah. Damn it, I've been waiting for this stupid Mulan movie. I'll pay it.
Well, he is going to have to pay $30 for it.
Yeah, I was also curious. I don't think there's anything coming out that you guys would, other than Black Widow,
that you guys would be like, eh, maybe. But was is there anything that you can think of that, like, if they put it out, you'd be like, okay, I guess.
Anything that John Cena might do or be in?
Anything John Cena related?
Yeah. I'd probably be like, oh, okay, he's in another free feature-length film? All right, John Cena. I can't see you, but you can see my money.
It would for me, it would have to be something at the level of the next Star Wars movie or, you know, like, I'm not as interested in Black Widow, but sure. If it was Endgame.
If it was an Avengers movie.
Yes, if it was Endgame, if Endgame was being pushed back right now, I could see myself dropping the $30 to sit by myself
yeah.
in my MASH costume and watch it.
I love that visual.
But like the next phase, I'm not as invested yet. I'm not as in big of a hurry.
That's what I was going to say. Out of the movies that they do have coming out in the next phase, like Eternals is pushed back and like, yeah. We don't know what Eternals is, so no one's going to pay $30 for that.
I can wait for Top Gun. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I want to see it. And if like the three of us got together and decided to watch Top Gun together, I'd put $10 into it to watch it now. But if it's just me and no one else wants, I'll wait. It'll come down in price, or wait until I can buy it for $30 and watch as many times as I want.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. For a rental, it's steep.
What was I going to say? Oh, Doctor Strange is probably the next Marvel movie.
That's the next one I'm super hype about.
That's the next Marvel movie that I'd be like, maybe.
Would you spend the $30, though, James?
For Doctor Strange, I think I'd cough up $30. Like, Black Widow, my fiancé's really got to want to see it, I feel like, to cough up the $30. But then I also feel like I got a little fear of missing out. Like,
there is
the Black Widow movie's there.
Right.
I know I could watch it for $30, but everybody else could talk about it. I'm not going to be able to get in on the conversation.
Right.
I'm going to have to sit out. I got to deal with spoilers and all that stuff. So maybe I would then spend the $30
just
to avoid, like, first world issues, you know, like major issues that really doesn't affect.
I think it would you'd have to look at how much would it ruin your day if it was spoiled for you. Like, Endgame, you're trying to avoid conversations with people until you see it. When we, you know, saw Force Awakens, we were trying to avoid people until we saw what happened. It got spoiled anyway because people are dicks. But, you know, like, I don't really care if Black Widow gets spoiled for me. I don't want it to get spoiled, but if it did, it'd be like, oh, well. You know, that's kind of how I would react to it.
Gotcha. Yeah. All right, well, let's take a short break. I didn't expect that conversation to go as long as it did, but I'm happy we did. I was looking forward to getting your guys' opinion on it. Coming up, there's another thing that was over on the website that I want to ask you guys about, and that is, has there been a good video game movie? That's coming up next on Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, I do not do that thing.
Hope you cleared out your DVR. We're back with more Nerd Radio.
Oh, I've wasted my life.
That's right, more Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcast, as part of the B-Pod Studios Network, and on your social media at Nerd Radio 101. My name is Chuck Bean, joined, as always, by my cohorts and companions, Al Beck and James, for another week of Nerd Radio. Guys, how are we doing today? I've been 30 minutes into the show.
I'm okay.
Yeah, I can't go. I can't complain. I'd say average, maybe average plus.
I was following you on Twitter over the weekend, James, and I saw you were having some gaming issues.
Yeah. You let me borrow Red Dead Redemption 2, and I didn't realize it was going to take 2 hours to install that game.
Oh.
I got Sunday afternoon. I'm like, I'll take my little anti-itch pills, put on my ointment, and I'm going to go delve into the Wild Wild West.
Right.
And I sat there and just pretty much watched loading.
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 Yeah.
Loading. I'm like, let me complain about this on Twitter.
Okay. I will
still
say,
loading.
Gaming games today are worth the wait because they look so good and they're so expansive, but that is the drawback that you cannot get a game and then be like, I'm going to play it now.
Yeah.
Like,
but to be honest, from what I've played in Red Dead, I'm very impressed with it.
Yeah.
So what they did, like, I've got to the point where, because I wanted to see the clown protest we've been talking about over the past few weeks. So you let me borrow the game so I can get online and check that out. And I finally got to the point where I can now go explore the Wild West on my own. Like, my camp is now set up. So I'm excited to go do that. And I'm super impressed with what they did with that game.
Mm. Yeah.
So I'd say it was worth the wait.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Kind of.
And that was something of the reason I brought it up. First of all, I saw your tweet, but I didn't know what game you were talking about. And then the other night I was looking through on my PlayStation, the activity feed, and I saw you hit a couple achievements. I'm like, oh, he was talking about Red Dead. I'd forgotten that.
Ding, 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 ding.
I'd forgotten that you have to like set it and walk away for the night.
Oh, man. Yeah, two discs.
In order to install.
I was lucky. I had a pre-order that my brother purchased for me, and it was the digital version.
Right.
So, I don't know. I assume they do this for all games, but that'll let you download the game entirely and install it, but it waits until the release to unlock, which I think is brilliant.
Yeah.
So, at midnight, you can start playing. You have to wait for that extra 2 hours.
Right, for sure. But I wanted to bring it up because of our previous discussion about the movies, the rentals, and you had brought up, James, the idea of missing out when a thing is new.
Yeah.
So I've been playing two different games the last month or so. One of them, Star Wars Battlefront 2, which is about 3 or 4 years old. And then I did that Twitter thing, the Twitter poll about a month ago saying...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And people said they wanted me to play Mass Effect Andromeda before I played Final Fantasy 13. I gotta say... In both cases, waiting to play those games actually made them better.
Really?
Especially Star Wars Battlefront 2. I talked to Mike Pandolf, who we've had on the show here, about Battlefront, and he was talking about how when the game first came out, there were loot boxes that you had to buy, which gave you different characters and different upgrades to characters and stuff like that, and they had to change that entire system.
Yeah, I think EA got in like some hot water with that because it draws lines to gambling and underage gambling or things like that.
Oh, so I didn't know any of that.
I had to look it up because I'm playing the game now, and I'm like, why were people upset about this? This game seems great. The more I play, the more my experience points goes up, which means I get access to these new powers and abilities, and okay, cool, and these new characters, this is great. And then I looked it up, I was like, oh, that's not how it always was. Mm. When the game first came out, you literally had to throw money at it to unlock Darth Vader. Or to get the certain ability which made Darth Vader's force powers better.
Or to make him available as a playable character. Like there's certain, it's been a while since I played, but I know there's modes where you'd only have access to certain legendary Star Wars characters.
Yeah, so, and I was looking at that, and then also playing the new Mass Effect game, well, the latest Mass Effect game. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they've had to update that with and patch any of the holes in it. It's still real buggy. It's still crashed on me a few times. But the only really I like the Mass Effect series, and this scratches that itch. So I don't get why people, when it came out, other than the disappointment of it not quite being everything you wanted.
So what would you say is the advantage to you playing this Mass Effect game now as opposed to playing it when it first came out? Like I get the loot box stuff,
sure,
the characters that kind of changed how the game mechanics work for Battlefront.
It's a mixed bag because, like I said, on one hand, I think it was a lot more prone to crashing when it first came out than it is now.
So it's a little bit more stable.
Yeah,
you're not ripping your hair out as often when the game crashes and you lose all your progress.
I'm getting more out of it now than I might have. But on the flip side, the multiplayer mode is completely dead.
Oh, really? Nothing?
I've tried playing.
Sounds great to me. I'm going to pick up a copy today.
There you go.
Like Al's Social Life.
Whereas
I wish. That's what I endeavor for. I met a friend earlier this week and it was miserable. I'm kidding. He's probably on the Twitch stream right now. I'm like, oh, man, what the hell?
That's such a Seinfeld bit. I met his friend this week, and it was miserable. But, yeah, it's the kind of thing that I was thinking about while I was playing Battlefront specifically because, like, all the stuff, all the different levels based on the Rise of Skywalker and the solo movie and stuff like that, you just get...
Oh, I forgot they had all the new levels. Like, I played it for a while. I don't remember why I got out of playing it, but I used to play it on my Friday streams. And I don't know if it's maybe that's when I finally discovered Realm Royale and I stopped playing it, and I've just been all about Realm Royale. But I forgot they had those other levels.
I'm sure to some degree you run into that with Realm Royale as well. Like, they've gotten to move around what weapons are, spawn as easy or do as much damage to a point where the game is what it is now. And like, I've seen people on your Realm Royale stream be like, man, I miss when this was here, or I miss when this was better.
Yeah, they moved some stuff. They've remodeled different locations and different areas. And there's an area in the map called Fungal Jungle that used to just be a couple, like one big forge and a few mushrooms. And now it's like something out of Labyrinth, like the Goblin King's castle. Now you're trying to find your way around.
Now it's the Ewok village.
Yeah, it's wild.
But one of the things I wanted to bring up is, once again, an article that we've got over on WRAF.com. Thanks to our Checkpoint XP bros, who also let us use the studio on Wednesday for their stream. Mortal Kombat turning 25, the movie Mortal Kombat turning 25 this year. But they also said, why are video game movies awful? Which made me start thinking, is there good video game movies? And I know there are. Like, I would say Detective Pikachu was good.
Okay. And that I haven't seen it, so I can't speak
that. That was enjoyable.
That.
I know you saw Sonic.
Sonic. I thought Sonic. Okay. It was enjoyable. You know, it's good if that's what you're looking for. If you're just looking for a straight-up video game, action-adventure, comedy-type movie, it's good. But it's not going to win an award, you know?
Right.
James Marsden's not going to get an Oscar for his role in the movie. And
I wish he
would. Ben Schwartz, whatever his name is. I wish he would, too.
You know what? If he didn't,
just because it would be fun downstairs. Yeah.
If he didn't get it for three X-Men movies worth of Cyclops, he ain't getting it.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's just not. Maybe Cyclops isn't his thing. Maybe playing Sonic's friend or whatever is more his bag. But I would say it was good. It was enjoyable. Much more, I feel, enjoyable than what Mortal Kombat was.
Yeah. Sure.
Or even like the original Super Mario Brothers movie.
I was going to bring that up.
Yeah. Like, I'm glad.
When you think of bad video game movies, you think of stuff from the 90s when they started actually, Hollywood started looking at video games going, oh, we can make a movie out of that. And a lot of them were really terrible.
Yeah. What about Resident Evil?
That, out of the series, and that's the thing. You have to,
all about those.
You have to figure out, why is a movie terrible? In the same way that, like, why would a comic book movie be terrible? Is it terrible because it's not a good translation of the source material, or is it just bad?
Mm-hmm.
Is kind of the criteria you need to put in your own head. Like, I wouldn't say the Resident Evil movies, even Silent Hill, aren't bad movies. They're just not faithful to what they're translating.
Sure.
Very true.
I'll give you that.
Yeah, so if you're going into the movie trying to relive the same experience you got playing the video game, you're going to be let down every single time.
Right.
But if you're going into it with an open mind, you're just thinking, okay, I'm going to watch this video game movie. Okay, we're watching Resident Evil. As long as we know we're in Raccoon City or we're dealing with, you know, Mr. X and the different labs and all that
there's
stuff.
There's going to be zombies. There's going to be stars.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully I'll get to see Nemesis or something like that.
Yeah.
I feel like a video game movie, in order for it to be good, it can't be a direct representation of the game because you'll do mundane tasks in a video game that is entertaining because you're interacting with it and you're doing it. But, I mean, little things like Mario, all you do is jump on a box and jump on a flower.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to watch that in a movie? No, but it's rewarding to play it because now you can shoot fireballs at, you know, mushrooms and stuff.
Yeah.
So I feel like if, you know, like Resident Evil maybe isn't a direct representation of the game, but if it was, it would have sucked.
Yeah, right. You just watch people grabbing different herbs and making the green and the red herbs to make
exactly.
different stuff.
Yeah. Like, however, it could be different for Generation Z because Twitch is literally this and nothing but watching people want to play video games.
Well, maybe.
And apparently it's rewarding. So
right. Well, like Final Fantasy.
But actually, I take that back as being like it translates to a movie because a lot of people will watch somebody on Twitch who's really good and try to apply it to their own gaming.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like they're picking up tips from somebody who's...
You can get different things from different types of streams, for sure.
So it's literally not... You're not just literally like, wow, this person's good. I'm going to watch it. And if I don't have an interest in a game, I'm not going to watch someone play it on Twitch. But if I'm big into whatever the Call of Duty game is, Warzone, and I go watch James play it because he's... I'll go watch him play Realm Royale before I play it for the first time and get a couple tips because he's better at it than I am.
Yeah, then he knows when you get to the forge, you want to at least get a rune and maybe some armor potions.
I didn't know any of that, but I could
shards,
pick that up.
Maybe you want to get
armor
a
potions first every
first.
Time. But, armor potions first.
But
you go rune first because if you get the armor potion rune... Then you get your armor potions. You need less armor potions to fill up the bar, Chuck.
See, that's why I don't do as well on Fridays.
Yeah. So
you're doing fairly well. You're doing better than I have the last few
weeks. Well, yeah, you've gotten pretty wrecked the last couple Fridays.
Three Fridays in a row.
I figure I'm there when you do your Manthong throwdown. I'm there as a spoiler. If I can take out one of the top players before I get taken out, then mission accomplished.
Hey, it works for me. It's entertaining to watch either way.
What a pain in the ass.
Yeah, well, I told you how I played Rocket League last week. I'm not there to win. I'm there to make your experience bad.
He's there to cause so pain. There.
Much like the show.
Yeah, he's the chaos factor.
Chuck is here to make sure.
I'm here to make your experience bad. But there are movies, like we mentioned Super Mario Bros. The Blood Rain movie was terrible.
How about Street Fighter?
Even Jean-Claude Van Damme couldn't save that hot trash.
I was going to mention Street Fighter as a joke, but when I realized that the reason we were talking about this was Mortal Kombat, I was like, well, there goes my punchline.
That movie is bad, but I love it.
Do you really? Oh, no wonder.
Raul Julia as M. Bison is so over the top.
Wasn't that one of his last movie?
That was his last movie.
Yeah, but you're admitting, too, though, that it was a bad video game movie.
It's not good.
It's not good.
It's really not good.
It holds a special place in your heart, and you enjoy it, but you can admit that it's not a good movie by any means.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I remember watching that, and I was like, what the hell?
Right.
Jean-Claude Van Damme is Guile.
You know what is surprisingly good? Doom. With Dwayne,
you know, I didn't see it.
The one with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I forgot about that.
And it's got the guy who plays Bones in the Star Trek movies.
Carl Urban.
Carl Urban, yeah. Really. That was good. And there's one on Netflix that was direct to video. And I can't remember if it's the second or the third one, but like it felt like a Doom movie.
Is The Rock in Doom?
He is. The first one.
Okay. So I think I watched that on Netflix and I was really bored until it goes into first person mode.
Yeah.
And The Rock starts kicking ass on Mars.
Yep.
Yes, you got me. You won me over.
It was hilarious that they made sure there was a first person version. You know, first person scene.
Like, I got hyped, man. The adrenaline was pumping. I'm like, now this is a Doom movie. Rock, go get him, Prez.
Yeah,
future president, The Rock.
People in the Twitch stream too saying they can't believe somebody else liked Doom and that they love Doom. So apparently,
I haven't seen it. So I've played the game.
It's worth it. It's worth watching. Even like I said, the one that's on Netflix right now, I think it's Doom Oblivion or something like that. It's on demand. It's cheaply made. You can tell they use the same set over and over and over again. But it absolutely, like, the plot totally feels like a Doom movie. Mm-hmm. So I was into it. I was feeling it.
Hmm.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about some video game movies. I don't think it counts as a video game movie, but there was an article I saw yesterday about Seth Rogen is doing the reboot for Ninja Turtles.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Seth Rogen's going to get his fingers in the Ninja Turtles.
He is. Yeah, he's...
He better watch those fingers.
he's going to be producing it along with one of the writers from... Gravity Falls, which was a Disney cartoon that was really good.
That's gonna be a good cartoon, yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be a CGI movie. It's not gonna be live action, or live action with CGI turtles like the last couple. But Seth Rogen said earlier this week that he wants to use the teenage aspect of the movie, so that he's made a lot of movies that that appeal to teenagers. Mm-hmm. So that's what he's looking to do with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So
that's cool.
You know what? He's a big comic book fan, and he did right by Preacher, I think.
I agree.
And
he produced something else too that was comic related, wasn't
it? Did he have anything to do with The Boys?
I think he does. I'm not sure.
Not 100%.
By the way, I will look it up.
To the internet.
Did you?
And I loved it.
Oh, great.
Like, almost to the point where I almost wanted to ask Al to borrow the comics again because I might actually try to read them.
Yeah.
But then I was like, nah, it's too much work.
Yeah.
I'll wait until season two comes out. But I thought they did a phenomenal job with The Boys. Like, I couldn't believe my fiance wasn't into it. Like, I was almost yelling at her. Like, I can't believe. I'm like, this is what you want to see. Superheroes. But
they're awful.
Normal human, like flaws, you know?
That's also Carl Urban, isn't it?
Yeah.
He plays Billy Butcher.
He does.
Yep.
Yeah, he was an executive producer.
He is, okay. That's what I thought. Oh, and so season two is not out yet.
No.
Okay, good.
End of September, I think. They just released a full trailer last night for it.
Well, I found out that season two of the new Twilight Zone came, like, is already out, and I had no idea. And so I haven't watched...
A big surprise? You got a big surprise.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I just went on, I think it went on CBS All Access because I think by the time this podcast drops, the new Star Trek, the Lower Decks,
the cartoon.
The cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the cartoon.
That, I think, is coming out this week, maybe Friday? I don't know.
That sounds right.
Probably. And so I was looking at CBS All Access, like, can I add this to a queue or whatever? Like, what do I need? And I see Twilight Zone, and, like, season two was all up there. I was like, holy crap, I didn't even realize.
That's funny. I had a similar experience with Umbrella Academy.
That's what I was going to say. You said you watched The Boys, what, this weekend?
Yeah, I watched it, like, I was off for Poison Ivy last 2 days last week. I've watched the first two episodes of The Boys, and I was like, okay, this is good. And then I just watched the rest of it while I was trying to not itch myself. And I was like...
Yeah, because Netflix essentially had a 1-2 punch this weekend, as far as I was concerned, because Thursday was the new Transformers cartoon,
War
for Cybertron, and then Friday was the new Umbrella Academy. And me and Amy spent a 10 hour because it's like 45 minutes, but we watched the whole thing. Episode one to episode 10.
Umbrella Academy?
Of season two, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I was shocked because all of a sudden, I think my fiance was like, you liked the Umbrella Academy, didn't you? I was like, yeah. She's like, you going to watch season 2? I'm like,
if I would have known it was out, right. Maybe I would have. Instead of watching all the property hunks that she's on TV all the time.
Right.
I'm like, I could tell you how to change tile and how to match, you know, your carpet to your drapes, but geez, oh, Pete's, I would have loved to watch the Umbrella Academy.
Don't lie, though. You didn't mind watching the property
hunks. Those guys are so good.
Those guys are so good.
Jonathan and Drew, those guys know how to design a house, I'll tell you.
Yeah, and Umbrella Academy got like 90% from everybody on Rotten Tomatoes.
I still haven't seen the first season, and I've had a number of people recommend it to me. And I don't know, I think I was just going through Netflix with the lady over the weekend, and that came up. And I was like, crap, I haven't watched that show yet.
Yeah.
I would recommend checking it out.
It's a cool show. I have no idea how they got that show out of that comic.
Yeah.
Really?
I wasn't a fan of the comic, but I looked through it once I'd watched the show, and it's the characters are there, but the comic has a completely different flavor. The comic is much more superhero comic based than the show is.
Interesting.
And I'm real curious to see this after seeing this new season, going to my comic store and seeing the second trade paperback it's based off of. This new season, they time travel back to the Kennedy assassination, and they have to. There's a new apocalypse that will happen, and one of them's convinced that, like, well, obviously we have to save Kennedy. That's why we're here, right? There must be a reason.
Yeah.
And the rest of them are like, maybe we're supposed to let it happen. Maybe saving him is what causes this apocalypse.
Right.
But
that's cool. I'll have to move that up my list a little bit and give it a watch. Yeah. Right now I'm trying to get caught up on The Unexplained on History.
Oh, really?
It's hosted by one William Shatner.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's basically like almost like it reminds me a little bit of Unsolved Mysteries.
Sure.
But it's like more rapid fire. It's not quite as in depth. And it's like one episode was like crazy structures, like this the eccentric widow of Winchester, the guy who made the repeating rifle.
Mm-hmm.
She built this mansion that had like doors to nowhere and staircases to the ceiling. And
really?
So like they have, it's all just stuff like that. And man. Dude, Captain Kirk kills it on the voiceover. He really does. I mean, like, it really is like Robert Stack level of voiceover. It's so cool.
He's right.
Just like, and as we leave the Angel Gate, we go to this next location where it may have come from hell. Oh my God. I can just sit here listening to you talk about this crap.
And I'm sure he does it the only way William Shatner.
Oh my God. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, every episode ends almost like the Twilight Zone where it's like, you know, where this and this happened in the Twilight Zone or whatever. And he's like, and that's why it's unexplained. Like every episode ends that way. I love it.
I like Al Shatner over here.
I know. I feel like he's got a future. He's gonna be making so much money doing voiceovers, we won't be able to get any of his time to do Nerd Radio.
Yeah, well, he's 89 and he's gonna outlive me, so I'm not gonna take any of his work.
Well, I'm glad you brought up voiceovers, too, because that Transformers show, it's only 6 episodes, and they're half-hour episodes. It's all CGI, and
it seems so short.
It does seem kind of short, and they, voice actor-wise, they didn't get anybody that's been...
None of the OGs?
They didn't get any of the Optimus Prime. It, huh? And apparently, was it Frank Welker, who was Megatron originally, and in a couple of things, and then Peter Cullen, who's Optimus Prime, both came out while the show was in production about the fact that they were using non-union voice actors.
Ooh.
And that's not cool, because they don't pay them as much. But, I mean, I don't know exactly who the target audience is for this show, because it wasn't me, and I'm a huge Transformers fan.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very, it's set on Cybertron during the war before they come to Earth, and so it's very dark and certain robots die and everybody's very depressed and very grim throughout the whole thing. And there's a cartoon on Cartoon Network right now called Transformers Cyberverse that I feel like is more the Transformers I like to watch.
Oh, okay.
Because it's more fun.
So what you're describing is almost like the Chernobyl version of Transformers.
Kinda.
You know?
Yeah. Like,
the way you describe it is the same way Chuck the Freak described the Chernobyl show on HBO.
Right.
Chernobotron.
Yeah, Chernobotron.
It's really, like
it's
I said, it's really
and
grim.
And robots will die.
But it is kind of cool to see the toys that are out on the shelves right now to like essentially see them
in
moving
action.
Around in action. Yeah. So I don't not recommend it. I'm sure there's going to be a whole bunch of Transformers fans from the show that, you know, but it's not my Transformer show, so
not Chuck's Transformers.
No,
he's gonna get the shirt.
Not really.
Optimus Prime. Yeah.
It's not my Transformers.
It's somebody's Transformers because I looked that up on Rotten Tomatoes too, and the critics have given 100%.
Wow.
Audience has an 88%, but the critics gave it 100%. So somebody dug it.
Yeah,
just not me.
It wasn't Chuck.
All right. Well, we're gonna take another short break, and we're coming back. I had one more thing I wanted to talk. Oh, comic books! They're sitting right in front of me. Some comic book news. going on in the world. And we'll talk about that next on Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
And Yuri Lowenthal.
And you're listening
to Nerd Radio.
I didn't.
Was that started midway through?
I didn't have the button pressed down. You want me to do it again?
I feel like that's good enough.
Hey, this is Tara Platt.
And Yuri Lowenthal.
And you're listening
to Nerd Radio.
There, is that better?
I feel like it's more true to Nerd Radio to have it screw up and be
kind of true to Nerd Radio.
Yeah. Half-assed imaging for a half-assed show.
You got it. Welcome back to Nerd Radio. You can find us on WRAF.com. You can also find us...
Rock929rocks.com in Boston and 96krock.com in Fort Myers. Or just go to nerdradio101.com.
Yeah. And, of course, you can find us all over social media at nerdradio101. And if you're a Twitch stream and viewer, then you can find us Wednesday afternoons at...
You can find us at the Checkpoint XP channel, which is twitch.tv/CheckpointXP.
That's right. Guys, some stuff going on in the world of comics that I wanted to bring up. First of all, this is kind of an old story, but it was something that I wanted to run by you guys. Did you see the story that Miles Morales, the young black man who's Spider-Man in the Marvel Universe, yeah, along with Peter Parker?
The ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah. Did you see the story that he was almost called something other than Spider-Man?
No.
When they moved him over to the, because they wanted to keep the Spider-Man name for Peter Parker, and then they obviously, like, there's the Spider-Gwen character.
Uh-oh.
That they've turned into, like, Ghost Spider.
They weren't going to call him Spider-Bro, were they?
They were not. No, they were going to call him SPY-E, or D, Spy-D.
Mm.
That's S-P- dumb.
Yeah, and thankfully they decided against it, and they're like, no, you know what, we don't want to put an asterisk against him being Spider-Man. We're just going to take the Spider-Man and we're going to call it Miles Morales Spider-Man. And the rest is history.
Yeah. Instead, I think they made the right decision there.
Yeah, for sure. That seems... But it was the kind of thing that... It was late in Brian Michael Bendis' run on the book. It was like the year or two before he left to do all the books over at DC.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a story that would have led into him being Spidey. He was working with S.H.I.E.L.D. as a spy, which would have been where the spy comes from.
Oh, Jesus.
But it wasn't great.
Oh, there's like a double play on words.
Right.
He's Spidey, like the nickname for Spider-Man, plus he's a spy, plus it's hacker. I hate the hacker ways to spell stuff out. Just use real letters and stuff, please.
So dumb.
Quit stubbing numbers and dashes and things to spell words.
It's so stupid, I want to punch myself in the ear for having heard that.
It's so stupid.
That's another good tag for Nerd Radio. So stupid. I wanted to punch myself in the ear for having heard it. Another thing I wanted to bring up is that we've seen a lot of stuff in Animal Crossing this year since it came out in the, including within the Lions announced their season.
Yeah, they did the whole season Animal Crossing. With
Animal
Crossing little
which may or may not happen.
Right. Yeah. But one of the writers for a book that's coming out called Avengers Assembly Orientation, has opened up her island in Animal Crossing so that you can go to it and you can get a shirt that makes you look like you're wearing Miss Marvel's outfit.
Oh, okay.
And then you can take a picture next to the cover, which is on the ground on her island in Animal Crossing as kind of a promotion thing.
Yeah, that's a great way to get people to check out your island.
And a great way to get people who are super into Animal Crossing to be like, I'm going to go to the comic store and check out that book.
I have an idea. I'm going to start playing Animal Crossing.
Okay.
I am going to open up my island.
People come
check it out. You can put on a man thong and take a picture of a wiener inside my house and share with all your friends. There's my new Animal Crossing marketing ploy.
Welcome to James's Fantasy Island.
Yes.
Did we
I
bring
like
up
Fantasy Island?
There was a Vice article I saw a couple of weeks ago. Did we bring up the
Or Vice Island?
We only have one Vice there.
Did I bring up to you guys the fact that there are dominatrixes who've been making a killing in Animal Crossing?
No!
Wait, they're making a killing in Animal Crossing?
There's an article on Vice about dominatrixes who used to have people into their dungeons to do stuff.
Yeah,
and then COVID hit and nobody wanted to be near each other.
Yeah, no, beatings are down.
Right. So they started up an island in Animal Crossing, and then people would pay them to come to their island and hang out and do Animal Crossing stuff. And then it even got to the point where, like, you know, you can smack people with the net.
There you go. I was going to say, when are they going to start beating the Animal Crossing characters' asses with whips and
stuff? People are paying
stuff.
Dominatrixes to smack them virtually in Animal Crossing with...
calling the players little
bug catching nets.
Better be careful. Tom Nook didn't zone you for this.
Yeah. Right.
How many kick you right out.
How many bells you got to pay Tom Nook to get the dominatrix through the security?
According to the Vice article, I can't remember what the name of the dominatrix they were talking to, but when she started, she was just having people send her bells so that she could, you know, pay off her house and buy cool stuff for the island and stuff like that. And then it got to the point like, well, I could make people pay me like $10 to hang out for, you know, at half an hour.
In on some of these side gigs like this. Like, I will come to your Animal Crossing island and I'll be a male dominatrix and I'll, I don't know, you tell me what you want me to say to you.
You just be inappropriate.
I'll say it. Yeah.
The theme of that story is James can be bought.
James can be bought.
Absolutely. 100%. I don't think I've ever denied that. I got, there's a price for me on pretty much anything.
Yeah, James has a price and it is affordable.
Yes. For most things.
Somebody in the chat, Demon Koenig, says $20 an hour is fancy living.
It is. $20 an hour. Like, you got a pretty difficult job to make $20 an hour these days.
All right, well, I've got a couple of comics here that I wanted to tell you guys about that I've been picking up at the comic store. First of all, I wanted to bring up the fact that DC Comics is really, really doing some big stuff this summer ever since, you know, we had the 6 weeks in the spring where there were no comics whatsoever. Comic book stores weren't open. Comics weren't being delivered, everything. And now we're finally starting to get back to where we're getting regular weeks, you know, output of comics. There's a bunch of books that have been put off until, like, October that Marvel did that were supposed to come out in April. But DC has, they've got the Dark Knight's Death Metal sequel coming out. The Dark Knight's Metal was, what, last summer or the summer before, where the evil Batman were in. Like, there was the
Batman Who Laughs.
Batman Who Laughs. There was the Batman Who's Also the Flash that was evil, and the Batman Who's Also Superman. It's the sequel of that with the Batman Who Laughs with a whole bunch of...
That might be the most
new...
confusing statement I think I've ever heard anybody say. Oh, got evil Batman. We have the evil Batman who is actually Superman. We have...
Right.
What?
It's all these...
What is it? Yeah, DC's up to some crazy stuff.
It's all these alternate reality Batman that have banded together to come to the main DC universe and take it over.
Wow.
And I didn't really care for it, to be honest with you, but I think
either.
They're... Yeah.
But
I think
the sales are killing it. Every week when I go to my comic book store... They are selling out of this thing.
I think a lot of people did actually like it. It just wasn't for me, and obviously it wasn't for you either. But people loved the Batman Who Laughs. It was basically a Joker-themed Batman.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know?
The Batman, to spoil it for you and anybody who's listening who hasn't read that particular book yet, in an alternate timeline, Batman beats the Joker to death, and when the Joker dies, he releases a toxin that infects Batman and turns him into the Joker.
Oh.
And then, you know... It goes downhill
like
from
Call
there.
Call of Duty when you have the grenade attached to you and you die and the grenade drops and you kill the person who killed you.
Yeah, exactly. But this, the Batman Who Laughs has survived for the sequel, and he has taken on the powers of Dr. Manhattan from Watchmen, which makes him even more deadly. But
his
bad
dong is even bigger now.
You would think so. But I wanted
and
to bring
much
up
bluer.
I wanted to bring up this particular book that comes out today. It's called Legends of the Dark Knight, and it's a bunch of short stories about these new evil Batmen.
I'm loving that cover, man.
In this there is a Batman who's also a Tyrannosaurus Rex. There is a Batman who has fed his consciousness into a monster truck. it's insane. But the reason I wanted to bring this up is
who wrote that?
It's short stories by a bunch of people.
Oh, gotcha.
Warren Ellis was originally supposed to write a story in here, and then they found out that he's been inappropriate with some young ladies over the years. So his story got nixed, but they replaced it. Garth Ennis did a story about a Batman who was a baby.
Jeez.
The baby bat?
God.
It's baby Batman.
Oh, how inappropriate is it?
It's not, actually. It's funny because he doesn't expect to be a baby, and he can't, like... He's not agile because he's a baby and his head's too big, so he's top heavy.
Like, there can't be really any superhero stuff in there. He swore he would never do it again after The Boys.
But the reason I wanted to bring this book up is because this book came out yesterday, because DC books come out on Tuesday now instead of Wednesday. This book is already $20. This book was $20 before it came out.
Really?
Because
like
it
retail
has
retail price?
Yeah. Retail is $5.99.
Ooh.
This book is so and the alternate cover.
So what you're saying is now is the time to buy.
If you can find one of these, grab it, because it has the origins of all these evil Batman for this particular story. But the variant cover, there's always, you know, variant covers. The variant cover for this, you had to order, every comic book store had to order 25 books to get one of these variant covers.
Dang.
Again, before this book even came out, the variant cover going for $140.
Dang. What's the variant cover look like? I'm going shopping after this.
It's like I said, I was at the comic store yesterday picking up my books, and there were two different people that were trying to buy 5 and 10 copies of the thing. So it's, and that's what I mean when I say DC is doing some really big things, because they've got this going on. They've got that Joker War thing with the new girl that's replacing Harley Quinn. Those books are flying off the shelf.
Punchline?
Every week. Yeah, Punchline. Every week DC's got a book that people are snapping up multiple copies of. And I don't know if it's like the 90s when the big boom happened with the comics where people were buying multiple copies of stuff and then none of it panned out because they printed so much. But right now it's definitely helping your local comic store.
Well, yeah,
that's awesome.
That is good, yeah. I was going to say, just based on the fact that there was a Garth Ennis story in there, I was like, oh, maybe you could pick one up. Oh, they're going for $20. Never mind. I don't need it that much.
Right, right.
Because I really don't care. The fact that it was Garth Ennis was the only thing.
I can tell you, I read it. You're not missing out on anything.
No? Okay.
It's funny for a minute, but you're not missing out on anything.
All right. That's good to know, because he doesn't always hit with me.
Right. But the other comic I wanted to bring in, because you guys know how big I am on my my X-Men, they finally wrapped up the X-Men Fantastic Four miniseries I've got here.
Doctor Doom.
Yeah, so the main gist of this miniseries is that Franklin Richards, the son of Reed Richards and Sue Storm, is a mutant. He was born with powers that developed when he was a teenager. And in the current X-Men storyline, they've colonized the island of Krakoa as a mutant sovereign nation. So all mutants are welcome at Krakoa, but, you know, everybody else is not. So they, at the beginning of the series, extend the invitation to Franklin Richards because he's a mutant. However, the Fantastic Four are not allowed because they aren't mutants.
Oh, because they got their powers in a different way?
Right.
Okay.
And Reed Richards has developed this, because he's Reed Richards, has developed this device that masks Franklin's mutant gene. So that he wouldn't be able to be picked up by, like, Professor Xavier's Cerebro. Mm-hmm. Or he wouldn't be able to go through the gates that allow you into Krakoa, that teleport you there, because it wouldn't register him as a mutant. And you find this out throughout the series. And it's kind of a dick move. It's kind of a Tony Stark kind of dick move. But the fourth issue is fantastic because at the very end, both Xavier and once they work it all out and they fight Doctor Doom, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff, once it's over, Xavier and Magneto visit Reed Richards, and Magneto uses his magnet powers to destroy the device and all the hard drives that Reed Richards has with the blueprints and how to make this thing, because it could be used against them at some point. And then Xavier takes out particular parts of how it works from Reed's mind and says, typically I would have wiped your mind so you never knew I did this, but I'm going to leave it so that you know you will never be able to create this thing, no matter how much you think about it. Because this could,
that's kind of dark for Professor X.
Haunting.
Yeah, this kind of, and that's the real joy of where the X-Men are right now, is that you can see it's this gray area where you can understand. It's like, yeah, they could, you know, they could make sentinels that could, you know, completely eliminate the mutant gene. That's an awful thing. I can understand why you wouldn't want that to be a thing. But then the way they're going about it is very like, no, we're not playing around anymore. We're done being the good guys. We've tried being the good guys forever, and you've been murdering mutants throughout
Sounds
the entire
like Magneto
history.
Finally won.
I know. I mean, honestly, kinda, that's like more of a Magneto way of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's cool.
But yeah, there's this really. They do these info.
I might read that in trade because that's cool.
They do these cool like these info pages throughout a lot of the X-Men comics.
Yeah.
That'll, you know, give you kind of backstory that you might need for different parts of it. But it's neat because it ends with these info pages that show you the device. And then the next info page shows the device, but there's pieces missing.
Oh, okay.
And then the final info page has nothing to signify that Reed Richards now can't make this device and never will be able to.
Hmm.
So kind of a cool,
cool twist.
Yeah, cool little plot thing going on. And I'm happy to see that my X-Men books are, you know, I'm finally getting a couple a week. Because throughout like July, it was like I'd get an X-Men book and then 2 weeks would go by and I wouldn't get another X-Men
book.
You get
antsy for your X-Men.
Yeah, well, there's like 10 of them. They're supposed to come out in a month. Mm-hmm. And like, how am I only getting one? This sucks.
Yeah.
They're also doing a big event right now where Fantastic Four and the Avengers are fighting the Kree and the Skrulls. The Kree and the Skrulls have stopped fighting and they've joined forces. to fight this other alien race that is all plant based, and the because
they're going after the vegans. Look out!
it's the Impossible Alliance.
Yeah.
Hopefully, the Impossible Alliance doesn't come up with the infinite gas. The Impossible Burger.
But that's all I got to tell you guys about this week for Nerd Radio. So thanks to everybody in the Twitch streams for stopping by. Thanks to you, Al and James, for letting me ramble on about my X-Men and my Transformers. I appreciate it every week.
I was asleep.
Yeah, well, it's fine. You sleep with your eyes closed really well. Yeah. It's fascinating.
Don't we all?
It's fascinating.
Might be his biggest talent.
Yeah.
Al, tell them one more time where they can find us online.
Nerdradio101.com. There you go.
Look at that. You found a shortcut.
Yep.
That's why I spent the
money. That's why I spent the money so you wouldn't have to rattle off all the websites we're on. And James, on Wednesday afternoons, where can people see us on Twitch?
You can find us on the Checkpoint XP channel. That's twitch.tv/CheckpointXP.
We'll talk to you guys next week. Make sure you're following us on social media at Nerd Radio 101. And make sure you're downloading, rating, and reviewing the podcast wherever you get us as part of the B-Pod Studios Network. See you next week.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Have a great weekend.
See you later, thank nerds. You.
The future's stupid, guys. I'm sorry, but it is.
I have spoken.
I feel like we should probably hook James up with like the first trade and see if he likes it.
Yeah.
Of the boys?
Yeah.
I think I've had it in my possession.
Oh, okay.
I had two real thick ones. I had two real thick ones in my hand.
There's your end tag right there.
Two real thick
James
ones.
And the real thick ones.
I realized what I was saying as I said it.
Okay.
And they just sat on the kitchen table for months, and I was like, Al, I'm moving. I got to give these to you now, otherwise they may never see your possession ever again.
Right.
Don't keep them in the kitchen. I don't want my big thick ones in your mouth.
Well, sometimes I can't avoid it. I got to wrap my lips around them. We're talking about breadsticks, right?
Breadsticks. Love me some breadsticks. Mm. Big, thick ones.
Yeah, some creamy Alfredo sauce.
Now I'm hungry.
Dude, I'm starving.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.